2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse number 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's begin reading in verse number 14. It says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Father, we do thank you for your word, and Lord, we just thank you how it speaks to hearts, and thank you for the good singing this morning, and Lord, what a great special song at Calvary. And Lord, there you showed mercy, and Lord, you offer your grace. And we pray this morning, Lord, that if there is someone that may not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would understand what you did for them at Calvary, and that you were willing to die on the cross for their sin so that they could be saved. And Lord, it has to be received by faith. It's not something that we're forced to receive. It's a choice that we have to make. And so, Father, I pray that you would just work in our services this morning. For Christians, Lord, you'd give us a greater desire to know you, to love you, and to draw closer to you. Lord, just bless now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been going through this series in the book of 2 Timothy, and Paul has just given some examples to Timothy of ideas of what he needs to be doing in following the Lord and serving the Lord and being a strong steward and being a good soldier and being that disciplined athlete and a diligent farmer. And now he comes and he's saying here in verse number 14, he says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the soul of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so in these next few verses here, Paul begins to speak about the word of God. But not just the word of God, but if we could say kind of the word in general, right? Obviously, he refers in verse number 14, he says words that do not profit. And then in verse number 16, he talks about profane and vain babblings, right? Speech that is just empty, it's worthless. And so he's encouraging Timothy here to study the word, to study the word. But sometimes I don't really think we understand what Paul means when he says to study the word, when he says study to show thyself approved unto God. And I think as we look at these verses here from verses 14 to verse number 19, I think it will give us a better idea of what Paul is speaking about here in this topic of studying the word, right? And we're going to look at a couple different words here that he speaks about. Notice in verse number 14, we find the unprofitable word. There's unprofitable words, right? I think we would all say that we could think of some unprofitable words, right? But notice what he says. "Of these things, put them in remembrance," right? "Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the souls." Now, if you remember, last week we were talking about how Paul said, look, Timothy, you need to remember what Jesus has done for you. Remember Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again. Remember what Jesus Christ did for you. And if Jesus Christ was willing to do this for you, and he was willing to die for you and to do all of these things, then Timothy, even when things get hard and difficult, don't just quit, don't give up. You keep going, you keep serving the Lord, right? And again, sometimes the easiest thing is just to quit. We just don't want to do it anymore. We just quit. And so Paul says, Timothy, remember what Jesus did. And he says, put these things in remembrance, right? I want you to remember these things, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. So he starts talking about these unprofitable words, words that that just they're pointless, right? And what is he saying? He's saying don't argue about things that don't profit, right? So if you go back and you remember at the end of chapter number 1, Paul talks about those that have forsaken Timothy. He says in verse 15, "This know that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes," right? And he talks about how they had convinced people in Asia to turn away from the word of God. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, you remember what God has done for you. Remember what Jesus has said. But the only way for us to really remember what Jesus has done is to get into the word of God, right? None of us were there during the ministry of Jesus Christ, right? If you were, I'd be very interested how you did that, right? Because you'd have to be about 2,000 years old, okay? None of us were there during the ministry. None of us physically heard the words of Jesus Christ when he spoke these things. But Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, there's the way that you can know what is right, you can know what is wrong, you can know what is true, and that is by the word of God. But he said there are some words that are just not profitable. There are some things that are just not important, okay? You know, and he's saying everybody wants to come up with some new philosophy. Everybody wants to come up with some new doctrine, okay? You know, and then, of course, they want to argue with you about it. And Paul is saying, look, Timothy, stick to the essentials. Don't worry about these unprofitable words, okay? Sometimes people just like to argue so that they hear their own voice. Yeah, you ever heard of somebody like that? You know somebody? They just like to argue and talk because they just like to hear themselves, okay? He's saying, Timothy, they're unprofitable, right? If they're not helping you to draw closer to Jesus Christ, if they're not helping you to grow spiritually, don't worry about these things, right? He says, charging them before the Lord that they strive not. That word strive has to do with arguing and fighting about words to no profit. And he says, what's what happened? It says, but to the subverting of the hearers, it actually causes confusion. It brings confusion and stuff, right? I may spoil some people's philosophy in here this morning, but in our center point class this morning at 9:30, we were talking about some different things, and the topic of heaven came up, and I said, I just, you know, I'm sorry, and if you feel differently, you know, I apologize, but all dogs do not go to heaven, right? Cats definitely do not go to heaven, right? And then someone made the comment, and snakes don't go to heaven either, right? I was like, I never thought about that, but that too, right? I mean, you know, some people you can sit here and argue and say, oh, I know my dog is in heaven. I know my cat is in heaven. I know whatever animal that I had is in heaven. Let me ask you, what is that profit? Does that profit anything? It doesn't profit anything. You see, we can make up doctrines, we can make up theology, and we can sit here and we can argue till you're blue in the face whether dogs go to heaven and cats go to hell. I mean, we could argue that all the time, right? But it doesn't profit anything, right? There's no profit there because that's not really what's important, right? It's not important at all. And this is what he's saying. Don't strive about unprofitable words that don't profit anything, right? Again, we want to make sure that we're sticking to the essentials. We want to make sure that we're staying true to the word of God. Now, watch what he says. He says there's unprofitable words, but then he says there are truthful words. There are truthful words, words that are to be treasured. He says in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, notice, the word of truth. So in verse number 14, he talks about these unprofitable words, but then in verse number 15, he talks about truthful words, the word of truth. You know, one of the things that's great about studying the Bible is that you really learn something all the time. It doesn't matter how many times you might study a passage, when you go back and try to study it out even more, you're going to learn something. And I don't know how many times I've read this verse and quoted this verse, and yet, as I was studying this, I learned something new, right? When you think of the word study, what comes to mind? What comes to mind when you think of the word study? School, right? All the young people in the front row are like, yeah, we hate that, right? I don't know if it's the school that they hate or the study or both, but yeah. But we think of like, we think of school or studying for a test or maybe for a position at work or something like that, right? But what's actually happened is we have changed the meaning of the word to actually describe the actual action that is being done. We even have places called the study, right? In some houses, they have the study or the den, right? Or in school, I don't know if they still do this anymore, but they used to have a time period called study hall, right? Did anybody actually study in study hall? I'm not sure, but I think it was more like a gossip hall or talk hall or something like that, right? But it was called study hall. But the word study doesn't mean study. That's deep, isn't it? The word study doesn't mean study. I found this very interesting. The word study means to fix the mind closely upon a subject, to muse, to dwell upon in thought, to be diligent, zealous, or eager to learn. That's interesting. Now think about what he's saying here. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. It's the only other time the word study is used in the New Testament is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 11. And this is what Paul says. I thought this was really interesting. He says, and that ye study to be quiet. Did you know you could study to be quiet? I didn't know you could study to be quiet, right? He says, but that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now think about what he's saying when he says that ye study to be quiet. Is he actually saying, all right, pick up a book, open up a book, and read how to be quiet? Is that what he's saying? No, of course not. He says, you need to think about shutting your mouth, right? You need to really think about, you shouldn't just open it, right? A lot of times that's what we're very guilty of, right? I mean, we say, well, God gave me a mouth, so I'm going to use it, right? Yeah, and a lot of times it gets us into trouble, doesn't it? And he says that you study to be quiet and to do your own business, to work with your own hands as we command you. Paul's saying you have to learn, you have to figure out how to mind your own business and how to be quiet when you shouldn't just be speaking. And so when he says here in verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Have you ever heard someone that's looking into a problem, you know, maybe the engine is acting up and they're trying to figure it out, or there's an electrical issue, or there's a plumbing issue and they've tried to figure it out and they're looking and they're trying to work on it, and it's just kind of getting the better of them, and they'll say something like this: I'm gonna have to study on this. You ever heard somebody say that? I'm gonna have to study on this, right? Again, does it mean that they're gonna go open a book? And they're gonna read? I mean, again, most of the time when we think of study, we think of school and opening a book and reading. But now there might be something involved in that. But the idea here to study is, what they're saying is, I really need to think about this. This is not just an easy problem to fix. So I need to really think about this, and I need to give a lot of thought to this. I've got to put my whole thought process into figuring this out, right? It's not just an easy thing to just come up with the answer. I'm going to really have to study on this engine problem. I'm going to have to really study about this electrical issue. I'm really going to have to study on this plumbing issue. I'm going to really have to give it my whole thought and mind to really come up with the solution and figure it out. Sometimes we just think studying means we open a book and we just read or whatever. But that's not exactly what it means. That's the action. That's what's involved. But to study means to fix your mind upon something, to dwell upon it, to muse, to be eager and zealous about it. And this is what Paul is saying. He says, study. Put your whole mind on this. On what? Be diligent about this. Well, be diligent about what? And most of the time we look at this verse and we say, study the Bible, right? Study the Bible. That's what Paul is saying. Study the Word of God. Study the Bible. But he actually gives us three things here that deal with the Word of God. There's three things here that he shows us here in verse number 15. And I think it's important that we understand these because, again, we live in a society where, could we say truth is irrelevant? Right? We live in a society where, you know, you can basically make up your own truth. I was listening to a guy that was interviewing somebody, and he says, do you believe in, you know, right and wrong? And she says, well, that depends on what the situation is. He said, all right. He said, do you have any money on you? She said, yeah, I think I've got like $35. He said, would it be wrong for me to steal that from you? Well, she said, well, that depends on the situation. Depends on the situation. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, if you really, really needed it, then it must be right for you to take it. I'm getting her name and number so I could find out where she lives. Because obviously she doesn't think it's wrong. You see how we've taken truth and we've just made it irrelevant. Truth is whatever you want now. And if it doesn't fit what you want, just kind of add something to it. Well, it's not necessarily wrong to steal because somebody might really need that more than you do. So that makes it right to steal? You see how we're changing truth. And for a Christian, when we think about this, not just in the idea of what the world is saying, but even in the Word of God, in Christianity, we're willing to change truth to what we want it to be. You think about what religion has done. Truth says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Truth says there's one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Well, religion says, well, it doesn't really have to be that way. I mean, that's not really what, you know, I mean, surely there must be another way to get to God. And so if you become part of our church, or if you get baptized, or if you keep the Ten Commandments, or you do these things, then that's another way that you can be able to get to God. So what are we doing? We're changing truth. And what's sad is that there are many people who call themselves Christians who have no problem when people change truth. And Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, you've got to be very careful because there are unprofitable words, but you've got to know what is truth. And the only way to know what is truth is you've got to study. You've got to fix your mind upon this. And notice what he says, these three things that he gives us here, right? He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Do you understand? When we are studying the Word of God, we're studying the truth of the Word of God, as we are fixing our mind upon it, he says, we do this to be approved unto God. Now again, please don't misunderstand that. He's not saying study so that you can be saved. That's not what he says. He says study to show thyself approved unto God. We need to be diligent and zealous about showing ourselves approved unto God. Our desire ought to be to please God in what we do, in all that we do. That's what he's saying. Well, how am I going to be approved unto God? How am I going to have God pleased with my life? Well, he says, Timothy, the only way you can do that is you have to know truth. If you want God to be pleased with how you're living your life, if you want God to be pleased and to bless your life, you have to know truth. It's not just about these unprofitable words. He says you've got to know the truth of the Word of God. There has to be truth there. And he says you're studying, you're fixing your mind upon the Word of God to be approved unto God. So we have to think. I have to fix my mind on pleasing God in what I do. I have to fix my mind in pleasing God and doing what is right. But the only way I know what is truly right is through the Word of God. If I'm going to be approved unto God, I have to know what God says in His Word. I have to know what He desires for me and how He wants me to live my life. And to know that there are things that He does not want me to do. We have this idea that once we're saved, anything we do just must please God. No, that's not true, friend. There are things that God says we are not supposed to do. Oh, that's legalism there. No, it's not legalism. God just says there are things that please Him and things that don't please Him. Look, if you have children, there are things that your children can do that please you, and there are things that your children do that don't please you. You're not going to call yourself a legalist. You're going to call yourself a parent. You're in charge. You get to tell your children what they can do and what they can't do. That's a privilege of being a parent. You don't just let them do whatever they want to. There are certain things that they cannot do. And by doing those things, it displeases you. Doesn't mean you don't love them anymore. Doesn't mean you don't care about them. It's just they're not doing what you want them to do. And God says in the same way, there are things that please Him in our life and things that do not please Him in our life. And if we're going to please Him and if we're going to be approved unto God, we better know the truth of the Word of God. Now notice the second thing He says here in verse number 15. Not only does He say we are approved unto God, but watch. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now that's interesting. He says, I want you to study. I want you to fix your mind on the things of God so that you will please God with your life so that you won't be ashamed. Now, I like to think about things in reverse sometimes. So that means there are things that I can do in my life. There are things that will bring shame to my Lord. There are things that will bring shame to Jesus Christ and that I will be ashamed because of what I have done. And again, notice He says not to be ashamed. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I wonder how many Christians are there that take no time to truly fix their mind on God's Word and truly study it. We just, you know, we have the Bible in our homes, right? I mean, we all have copies of the Word of God. And, you know, on Sundays or when we go to church, we'll break them out and we'll bring them. But when we go home, how much time do we actually spend fixed on the Word of God? How much time do we spend diligently reading it and studying it and truly dwelling upon it and studying it out and saying, all right, God, I want to please You with my life. What do You want me to do and what do You not want me to do? You see, He says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If you want to be a skilled workman, it takes time and practice. It takes time and practice to be a skilled workman. I mean, if you have, I know there are some people that work at Henny Penny and they do welding and things like this. If you want to be a skilled welder, that takes time. It takes effort to do that. It takes time and practice and over and over and over again to be a skilled welder. If you're going to be a builder, that takes time. Time to learn and time to try it. And yes, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to fail, but then you keep going and you learn to be a skilled builder. If you're going to be an electrician, right, you're going to be skilled at that. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. You see, we're willing to put the time and effort into many things except for the most important thing, God's Word. If you're going to be a mechanic, man, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort to learn and to be able to do the job there. Why do they want to do those things? Why do they want to take the time to be skilled in being an electrician or a mechanic or a builder or welder? Because they want to do a good job. They want people to know, hey, they do a good job. And for God, He says, hey, I want to know that as your father, my children, when you take time to study the Word of God, I want you to know that, man, you're learning and you're growing and you're taking time to learn what God wants for you. You're not ashamed. And He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. It's vitally important to rightly handle the Word of God. Why don't we rightly handle the Word of God? Because we haven't studied it. We haven't truly fixed our mind upon it to really find out what He is saying. You know, it's sad, and it's, you know, again, with every good thing, there can also be something bad, right? The internet and things like this, man, there's a lot of things that you can get on there and you can find that are really good, but there's a lot of things that you can find that are bad. And even something that we might consider good can be bad. It seems like in our society today, instead of actually taking time to study the Word of God, you know what we'll do? We'll Google it. We'll YouTube it. Well, what does this verse mean? Well, I don't know. Let me Google it. What does this verse mean? I don't know. Let me YouTube it and find out what other people are saying about it. Can I ask you a question? What difference does it make what other people are saying about it? What you need to do is you need to get in and find out what God is saying about it. What does God say about it? We're more willing to listen to what other people have done and said so that we don't have to take the time to truly study it out. We don't want to fix our mind upon it. We don't want to be diligent in the Word of God. We want somebody else just to tell us what it means. But here's what happens. By doing that, you know what we end up getting into sometimes? Unprofitable words. We start getting into false doctrine and things, and we're going to see some other things in just a minute that he's going to talk about. Because we're not taking the time to study out for ourselves. We'll just listen to what somebody else says. Well, that must be what it means. And so we start believing it. We start following it, never checking to see if it's true or not. Never actually finding out ourselves. Is that really what the verse means? Is that really what God is saying here? Well, so-and-so said it. How do you know? Well, he said it on YouTube, so he must be right. Oh, well, yeah, everything on YouTube is right. Everything on the internet is right. No, of course not. So why aren't we willing to take the time to study? We're being deceived by dangerous doctrines. It's interesting. We will invest in everything else that we do. We do. We invest in everything else, right? Now I think this next part I'm gonna step on some toes here, and I'm sorry, but that's why you came this morning. Maybe not, but it's gonna happen anyway. We invest in everything else we do. Guys, if you buy a gun, yeah, I know. Careful, Pastor, careful. If you buy a gun, there's a whole lot more that you end up getting, isn't there? And the lady's like, get him, preacher, get him. Yeah. I mean, you buy a gun, you don't just get the gun. What else do you have to get? You have to get ammo. You have to get camo. You've got to get targets. You've got to get cleaning kits. You've got to get a scope. I mean, you got they literally have entire stores dedicated to all the stuff that you need to get just because you bought a gun. Yeah, nothing wrong with that, right? Nothing wrong with it. I mean, have you ever gone into a Cabela's and looked at how many fishing poles that they have? It's a fish. They've got a million fishing poles. But when you buy a fishing pole, that's not all there is to it either, is there? I mean, you've got to get the tackle, and you've got to get a tackle box, and you got to get the waders, and you got to get the hat, and you got to get the hooks, and you got all these other things. Oh, why do you got to get it? Well, it's important. I got to have it for my reel. Why is it important? Well, I got to have it for my gun. You see, we will invest in all these other things, ladies. Don't get on us men too bad. If you buy a new dress, that isn't all you buy, is it? What else needs to come with a dress? Well, there's shoes, because the white shoes that you have in the closet aren't exactly like the white shoes that you need with this dress, because the heel on this one is about 2 inches and you need flats on this one. I have a wife and 3 daughters. And not only do you need the shoes, but you got to have a purse to go with it that matches, right? And then there's going to be jewelry that goes with it. There's the hair things that goes with it. There's extra makeup. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Come on, right? I mean, we're willing to invest in these things. We'll get one thing, and because we get one gun or we get one rod, right? You get a fishing rod, and you have to get a boat. Right? You know? Just saying. Right? We'll invest in all these different things. Yet to buy a book that might help us understand or study better, we're just wasting our money there. Well, I don't really understand it, so I'm just not going to invest in it. We'll invest in everything else that we want to. We have a car. We'll put extra things on the car that aren't really needed. We'll buy a house. We'll put extra things in the house and on the house and around the house that aren't really needed. But we consider that an investment. But when it comes to the Word of God and really desiring to know what God said, we just think that's not really important. And you know, if people said, hey, if you bought this book, this might be able to help you understand some of the words, or this might help you be able to understand some of these things. Well, you know, that's not really important. And this is why he says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I wonder, and obviously I understand there's no way to put this on a scale, but I wonder if the Lord were to take our knowledge of the Word of God for the time that we have been saved. And I know some people have just gotten saved, and there are some people that have been saved for 30 and 40 years. I get that. But I wonder if God was to take our knowledge of the Word of God and put it on a scale, I wonder where we would be. If he put it on a scale of 0 to 10, I wonder where our knowledge of the Word of God would be. I wonder how confident we would be in the Word of God. This is what Paul is telling Timothy. Hey, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. Hey, it's not about what somebody else is saying, Timothy. It's not what you're hearing from somebody else. Even it's not what you're hearing from me, Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You have to stand before God for what you are doing, Timothy. Are you taking the time and fully fixing your mind on the things of God and opening the Word of God and truly studying and digging and finding out? Well, that's going to take time. Look, we're willing to take time to learn how to build an engine, how to do electric work, how to build. We're willing to take time for these things. But for the Word of God, we just don't have time. Why is the Word of God of less value than anything else that we do? Why is the Word of God so less important? Look, friend, I enjoy hobbies and things. I enjoy shooting and stuff, but can I tell you, those things shouldn't be more important to me than the Word of God. And he says, as a Christian, Timothy, you've got to study. And it's not just studying it, right? If I study it and then I don't do it, will I be approved unto God? It's not just about studying it. Now I've got to put it into practice. Now I've got to be willing to do it. Some Christians read it, but they don't act on it. We come to church and we hear the Word of God being preached and we say, wow, that's a great message. But let me ask you a question. What did you do differently next week? How did that impact your life over the next week? What did you change? If God spoke to your heart about something, what did you change? Because if we're just saying, well, that was a great message, or I read the Bible, but we're not doing anything about it, we're not allowing it to change us, then what really is the purpose? Does it not then just become unprofitable words? We're not going to do anything about it. And it's almost like we're just arguing over nothing. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to do anything about it. When he says, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now notice the third words here. The third words that he gives here, these are cancerous words. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. He talks about these cancerous words. They're worthless. They're empty. Empty talking. And yet he says it increases unto more ungodliness. He says these words are a danger because they're like a cancer. That word canker is like cancer. We know a little bit about cancer in our society today. I don't know that there's a single family that's never been affected by cancer. Someone sometime has been affected by cancer. Maybe somebody personally has been affected by cancer. You can't see the cancer, maybe unless it's like a skin cancer or something, but most of the time they'll say, you have cancer. It wasn't visible. It wasn't something that you could see. It was something that was hidden. But what happens many times is that cancer begins to work on the inside. That cancer begins to destroy. It begins to kill. And he says, that's what these words are like. The cancer of their words. Now, this is interesting. He says, this is what they were saying. And he speaks of two different men here, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now remember, Hymenaeus was one of the ones that he also spoke about back in chapter 1, verse number 15, right? I believe he's one of the same guys there. And so he says here, this is what they're saying, who concerning the truth have erred. They've erred from the truth. What did they err from? He says, saying that the resurrection is past already. Now, isn't that interesting? Do you notice that these men did not deny the existence of Jesus? They didn't come out and say, Jesus never existed. They didn't come out and say, and deny the crucifixion. They didn't say, Jesus didn't die on the cross. They didn't deny that Jesus was a man. What did they say? They said the resurrection is already past. They said the resurrection's already over. Jesus Christ has already resurrected those that he wants to resurrect. It's already done and gone. It's past. Wait a minute. Isn't that interesting? They weren't saying he hadn't died. They weren't saying that Jesus didn't exist. They were simply teaching that the resurrection had already had happened. They're taking something that was true in the Word of God about the resurrection, but what are they doing? They're twisting it. They're changing it. They're taking the truth, and we believe in the resurrection. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He talks about the resurrection. And we know that that's going to happen one day. But these guys were taking truth and they were twisting it. They were changing it. They were subverting it. And he said, hey, you better be careful about this because there are guys out there like these two that are twisting scripture and taking the word of God and they're changing it and it becomes a cancer because it starts destroying people. Look what he says. He says, and overthroweth the faith of some. He said, because people were listening to what these guys were saying, their faith was being shaken because of it. They're saying, oh man, the resurrection's already happened. What about us? We missed the resurrection. He said, their faith was being shaken. It's so interesting. I don't mean to laugh at people, but every time there's like a major event that happens, like the eclipse. This is going to be it. This is the end of the world. You know, everything's going to happen. Every time a bomb explodes in Israel, oh, this is it. This is the end. This is it. This is going to happen. Friend, do you understand? Nobody knows when it's going to happen. But what do people do? They try to take the truth. They're not saying Jesus isn't coming. They're not saying the end isn't coming. They're just trying to twist it and make it say what they want it to say. And people believe it. People that call themselves Christians will follow them. Why? Because they haven't taken time to study the Word of God for themselves. You say, well, Pastor, that's your job. You're supposed to stand up there and you're supposed to feed us. And you're supposed to teach us what's right. Well, that is one of my jobs, yes. And guess what your job is? Act on it. Now, it's easy to say, oh, Pastor, your job is to stand up there and preach to us. Your job is to stand up there and feed us. You're the pastor. You're the shepherd. Feed us. Well, fine. I'm trying to. But are you doing anything with it? He says, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. Friend, do you understand? I'm not going to stand before God for you. You're going to stand before God for you. And you're going to have to stand before God, and you're going to have to give an account of what you did with His Word and how much you knew of His Word. And did you allow unprofitable words to get you sidetracked? Did you allow cancerous words to get you defeated? And I'm like, oh, man, these people, they're saying this about the Word of God. Well, wait a minute. What did you find out about that? Did you search it out? Did you study it? What did you find out? Are they telling the truth or are they lying? Well, I don't know. I'm just not sure. Why not? Study it. Friend, do you understand? You don't have to know Greek. You don't have to know Hebrew. You don't have to have a college degree to study the Word of God. You don't have to do that. If God can take some fishermen that were not well educated and use them to give us the Word of God, I think God can take anybody and help them understand the Word of God. God has given us His Holy Spirit so that as we will take the time to study and get involved and focus on the things of God and ask God to speak to us, I think God's pretty capable of teaching us what He wants us to know. But we relegate it. Why? Because we're lazy. We don't want to do it. We don't want to take the time to do it. It's hard. It's difficult. There are some passages that it's hard to understand. We were talking about that in our Sunday school class this morning. There's just some passages that are hard to understand. There's some things that we may not ever know until we stand in heaven one day. But that doesn't mean we don't keep studying the Word of God. That doesn't mean we don't get in there and study. Now, watch this. And this is, I think it's interesting how he kind of ends this part of it. He's saying there are some that are being shaken in their faith because of these cancerous words that are being taught. But watch what he says in verse number 19. Nevertheless, I like that word. He said there are some, their faith is being shaken because they're listening to cancerous words. They're not studying the Word of God like they should. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Aren't you glad that God's foundation doesn't move? Aren't you glad that God's not worried about what's going on in our world today? God's not like, oh man, they're bombing Israel. Oh my goodness. What's going to happen down there next? Boy, I hope Israel can tough this out. Man, oh man, look what's going on in that person's life. Oh man, they're having trouble with their job. Oh boy, I hope that they just... God's not worried. God's not up there wringing His hands. The foundation of God standeth sure. Hey, can I tell you something? You have no better foundation than the Word of God. What we can believe and what is true. Look, society is going to try to change what is true, but God says it's still true no matter what society says. You can try to change it however you want, but God says the foundation of God standeth sure. It stands sure. And watch what He says. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that no matter what happens in our world today, no matter what you do, no matter what I do, no matter what goes on in the world, God says, I know who are mine. I know who are mine. I know they're mine. And there's nothing that can change that. There's nothing that can change who are mine. Oh, yes, unfortunately, some may be listening to unprofitable words, and some may be listening to cancerous words, and they may be living their life in fear, but God says, I know who are mine. The foundation of God is sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. So what? Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He said, hey, God knows who are His, and if you say that you belong to Jesus Christ, live for Him. Live for Jesus. Live your life for Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up in unprofitable words. Don't get deceived by these cancerous words. You find out what the truth is. And the only way we know truth is from the Word of God. You know what it's time? It's time for some Christians, to start just stop just coming on Sunday and listening to the Word of God being preached. Stop listening to YouTube. Stop listening to Google and all these other things. But it's time for some Christians to open up the Word of God and start studying it themselves. And start getting in and, well, I read that. Well, great. What did you learn from it? Well, I don't know if I learned anything. Then go back and read it again. Study it. Fix your mind on it. You say, well, I didn't understand that. Well, do what you would do if you'd had an engine problem or a plumbing problem or electric problem. You have to study on that a little bit longer. I'm going to really think about this. I'm going to have to really try to figure it out because I want to be able to do it right. Hey, you want to know the Word of God. It may take a little bit of time, but fix your mind on it. Study it. Don't just throw it to the side like, I can't figure it out. No, get in there. Study it. Know it. Find out what God says. Why? Because that's going to help you to have a sure foundation that's not going to be shaken by all these other words that are going on. You're going to know what the truth is. And you're going to have a confidence that the rest of the world doesn't have. I'm telling you, you look at people that know the Word of God. They have a confidence in it. They're not swayed by every wind of doctrine. They're not being deceived by all these people that are coming up with new doctrines. They're not fighting and squabbling over nothing. They know the truth of the Word of God, and no matter what the rest of the world does, hey, I'm just going to follow the truth of the Word of God. I'm just going to be obedient to what God says. They have a confidence in it. Why? Because they are willing to study it. They're willing to take the time to get in and fix their mind upon it and find what God has for them. Friend, if you're a Christian, you need to get in the Word of God. Be diligent about it. Fix your mind upon it so that you know what God is saying. And if that means you need to buy a few books to help you to study, then buy a few books to help you study. But know the Word of God. Get in it. Study it. Be that workman, not ashamed, but approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, being able to say, hey, this is right, it's from the Word of God, and this is wrong. That is not from the Word of God. That's man's opinions. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Get in it so you can rightly divide the word of truth that he's given to us. If you're not saved this morning, the most important thing is to know Jesus Christ. And there's only one way, and that's through him. There's no other way. You say, how do you know that? Because the truth of the word of God says there's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one. One with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, no one looking about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking about this morning. I know we have some that are going to be baptized. If they want to go ahead and go and make their way and get ready for that, they're welcome to. But Christian, can I ask you just to pay attention for me for a few more minutes? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking about. Can I ask you this morning, how much time do you truly take in the Word of God? Is it just on Sunday that you come and you listen to the Word of God, or on Wednesday or at church, and that's when you hear the Word of God and that's how you're trying to grow? Or are you taking time personally, yourself, to get in and study God's Word? That's what his desire is. That's what he's telling Timothy. Hey, Timothy, you get in there and you study the Word of God. You be that workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. You be that one that's not ashamed to stand before God because you've taken the time to study his word and you know what his word says. You're not going to be deceived by these false teachers, and you're not going to be listening to this unprofitable stuff. No, you're going to get in the word and you're going to listen to the word of God. How much time do you spend studying the Word of God? I don't mean on a daily basis. I know we have lives and jobs and families and things like this, but can you tell me you don't have any time throughout the week to devote to studying God's Word? You don't have an hour or two that you can give God a week to truly study his Word and to help you to grow spiritually in your walk with him? We just going to listen to these cancerous words and be deceived by them? Or are we going to truly get into the Word of God and know his Word? Friend, maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never accepted Christ. Friend, the most important thing that you can ever do is put your faith in Christ for salvation, to know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And friend, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Friend, I'd love to pray for you this morning. We'd be willing to have someone take the word of God and show you how to be saved. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. And friend, can I pray for you this morning? I'd like to pray for you. If you just slip your hand up right now and put it right back down, nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out, but I want to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Just slip it up and put it right back down. No one's looking about. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. And Christian, how much time do you really spend studying His Word? Oh, we're willing to listen to the news, and we'll listen to this person and that person or this person, but how much time do we spend truly listening to the Word of God, the Spirit of God speaking to our heart as we study His Word? We need to be in His Word. Father, I pray you to help us, Lord, to realize how important it is that we get in and study your word so that our faith is not shaken. Lord, so that we know what pleases you and that we might be obedient to that. Lord, help us not just to listen and be a hearer. Help us not just to read it and then not to act upon it, not to do anything about it. But Lord, help us to understand and learn and obey and practice what it is that we're learning in your word. We might have a confidence in your word and stand upon that foundation that is sure. Lord, would you help us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The piano's just going to begin playing softly this morning. And Christian, maybe God's spoken to your heart this morning. Are we willing to spend more on guns and